The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated for the Refuah Shlema of Leah Bat Rachel Chaya. Dedicated today by Anonymous. Again, for the Refuah Shlema of Leah Bat Rachel Chaya.
Mara Moed Katan Daf He. Today's daf is being studied the Adon Shabbat Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichanu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Fuah Shlema Yosef Ben Sarah Enna Refanalo B'Tok Shaar Chole Amo Yisrael Amen. We begin today's daf on Dalet Amud Bet, right on the bottom line, the last two words, and the Gemara says Umetakenin Et Kedkulei Hamayim Shebereshut Rabbim. We learned in the Mishnah that it is permissible on Chol HaMoed to clean out the cisterns that are in the public domain. Now we're going to explain exactly what the case is. Rashi says, "Kilkulei hamayim." Top line: "Kegon abanim shenaflu mahmat abor." For example, rocks that fell into the cistern as a result of the bor, and therefore they want to clean it out. So the Gemara says, "Hatita'in." From the Mishnah, we can make a diyuk and say, "Cleaning out is permissible." Hafira lo. But from the fact that the Mishnah only said Hatita, so that were the, from the fact that the Mishnah said Umetakenin, it could go down mime, so we're assuming it's Hatita, yes. Hafira, no. Hafira would be digging out. Digging out would be too much exertion. And therefore, they're not going to allow it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Hanan, lo, shanu ela, she'en Rabbim Sirichim Laim. What type of well are we talking about? A cistern where the Rabbim, where the public does not need it. Aval Rabbim Sirichim Laim, but if the public uses that cistern, afidu hafira mutar, then you can even dig it. Like we learned, that when it comes to public works, so then we'll be even more lenient. V'chi Rabbim Sirichim Laim, mishari? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Even if the Rabbim needs it, is it going to be permissible to dig out? V'atanya, we learned in a braita, this we'll call braita number one. Chotetin borot shichinu me'arot shel yahid. It is permissible to clear out, to unclog the borot shichinu me'arot. Those are different areas where water is contained, so long as they are shel yahid, even if they are from an individual. Ve'en sarich lomar shel rabim. And you don't have to say shel rabim, which means when it comes to cleaning out, you can clean out any type of water system. Ve'en chofrim borot shichinu me'arot shel rabim. But you cannot dig out even a place that contains water of the Rabbim. Then Sirich Lomar Shaliyahid, and goes without saying that you cannot do it for a personal Shaliyahid. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, what are you telling me that when it comes to Rabbim, you're allowed to make Hafira? From this bright over here, it's Mashmah. When it comes to Hafira, you're not allowed to do it by a Bor Shel Rabbim. Ma'ila b'shiribim sirichim lahem. And we must be this bright over here that says a board of a rabbim. It must be talking about a board that the rabbim needs it, meaning it's a functional board, the yisibur is using it, and still the bright is telling me hafira is asur. So basically the Gemara's question is, from the Mishnah, you want to tell me that when it comes to a board shel rabbim, hafira is mutar, but we have a bright that's mashma that hafira is asur even by a board shel rabbim. Gemara says, no, that's not the way you interpret the bright, huh? B'she'en Rabbim Sirichim Naem. It's talking about it's a board in the public domain, but it's not being used by the public. That's why Hafira is going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, hold it. So we're talking about a public cistern that's not being used by the public. The Kevate, so similarly, you have to learn, Gabe Yahid, when it says a board of Yahid in Abraita, She'en Yahid Sarich Laem. So you have to say also, so by it's an individual board that also it's not being used. So the Gemara then asks, Hatita Mishari? Would it be permissible to even clear out a board of a Yahid that's not being used? Because once you establish the Braita, that's talking about a board shil Rabbim that's not being used. So they have to be the case, they have to be similar. So the case of the Yahid has to be a board shil Yahid that's not being used. So therefore, if it's a board shil Yahid that's not being used, even Hatita should be a Asur. Well, I'm not going to exert at all for no purpose. So therefore, that could kind of make sense. And you're going to tell me, the Gemara says, a borot shel yachid, is it permissible to clear it out if it's not being used? V'atanya, we have a braita, borot shechinu me'arot shel yachid, when it comes to these water cisterns of the yachid, konsin ma'im notochan. First, it is permissible to collect water and place it into the cistern, again, obviously not doing it with a pail or a bucket, because that would be a great exertion, but it means, let's say, by, you know, running a stream through the, let's say, cistern. Aval lo hotetin. However, one cannot be hotet, one cannot clear out. Velo shafin itzitken. Nor can you smoothen, let's say there's some cracks. So you want to smoothen the cracks. Veshel rabim, when it comes to the rabim, hotetin otan, it is permissible to clear them out. Veshafin et sitken, and you're allowed to plaster the cracks. So now the Gemara is saying, in this bright of it, aval lo hotetin. Now what's the case talking about? The case must be talking about where it's a bor of yachid, where it's not being used by the yachid. It's not being used. And therefore it says, lo chotetin. And similarly, you have a bor shel rabim, in this bright, that's not being used, so hatita will be permissible. But you see clearly what? That a bor shel rabim that's not being used, hatita is asur. Look at the second Rashi. Aba lo chotetin otan. I amar pishtama adiktan yahi beraita shel ma'ala. If you're going to learn the first beraita, bor shel yachid, haynu b'shachid sarich lo, which means, if you wanted to tell me the first braita that we learned, the first braita I'm referring to was on the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line, Vatanya. If that braita was talking about a braita that Yahid Sarichlo, that the Yahid is using it, and that braita says Chotetin, then I can explain this braita very simple. This braita says En Chotetin, it's talking about a Yahid, the En Sarichlo. However, as she continues, Ava lo chotetin b'she'en yachid sarich lo. Ela iukmet la had chotetin b'she'en yachid sarich lo. But if you're going to learn the first braita that it says, if you're going to learn the braita that says chotetin, the first braita, in the fifth line that says chotetin, that's talking about en sarich lo. So then, what are you going to find this in? When it says over here, in this braita by us, she's going to learn the braita of chotetin. The first braita is chotetin. If you're going to learn, it's talking about a bor of yachid of the en sarich lo. So how you learn the second braita over here that says en chotetin b'may mukidme, which is what are you going to learn it? Ela, so we have a question. Bottom line, our question in this Gemara is we have a diuk from the Mishnah. We want to say a bor shel yahid. It's forbidden. It's only permissible to be chotet. Chotet means to clear out. Actually, the braita is talking about cisterns in the public domain. So we have to be clear. So you can clear them out. I'll clear them out, yes. However, digging them, no. So that's the Gemara's question. What do you mean, digging them, no? I thought you're allowed to dig out a well of the Rabim. Right, that was the Gemara's first question. So the Gemara says, but must be talking about, again, I want to be clear over here, must be talking about that the Rabim does not need them. That's why you can't dig them out. But if the Rabim needed these wells, so then already even Hafira would be Mutar. And from there we had a question from a bright and a smash, that even when the Rabim needs it, Hafira is still Asur. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela Mai. What do you want to say? B'shiyachid Sarikhlaim. So you want to explain the second Braita, that it's talking about Yachid Sarikhlaim. And therefore you're telling me, the Kivateh, similarly, Gaber Rabim B'sharabim Sarikhim Laim, Hafira Mi Asir. Are you going to tell me that Hafira is Asur? So no matter how you learn these braitot, you're always going to run into a problem. So he was v'atanya. We have a clear braita. Barot shichanu marot shel yachid. If it's shel yachid, konsin ma'im l'tochan v'chotetin otam. So it's the board of a yachid. You're allowed to put water into them, and also you're allowed to clear them out. Skip this line here. This line is taken out by the Agot Abach. This line over here. Velo. Then go to the next one. Velo sadin otan besid, and you cannot plaster them with limestone. Veshil rabim, but if it belongs to the rabim, hofrin otam. Clearly, you're allowed to dig out a board of rabim. Vesadin otam besid. Skabra says, elakasha kamaita. So then we have a question on the first braita, which is the braita that we read above that said that en hofrim shel rabim. Here it's much more clearly that what? That when it comes to the rabim, you are chofer. So we have a stira from, we'll call this braita number 3. The braita number 1. Braita number 1 clearly said shel rabim en chofrim. And braita number 3 says shel rabim ye chofrim. So Gemara basically answers the following. Taritzach, he explained like this. Chotetin borot shel yachid. You're allowed to dig out, not dig out, you're allowed to clear out a bor of a yachid. B'shi yachid tzarich lehem. When the yachid is using them. Then tzarich lomar b'shel rabim. And goes without saying, you could clear out the board of a rabbim b'shirabim sedichin lahem. When the rabbim is using them, da'afilu hafira mutar. Because when the rabbim is using it, you can even do hafira. Ve'en hofrim borot shenu marot shel rabbim. And you're not allowed to dig out a board of rabbim b'shirabim rabbim sedichin lahem. When the rabbim is not using them, ve'en sedich lomar shel yahid. And goes without saying, you cannot dig out a board of a yahid when they're not using him. Dechi en yahid sedich lahem afilu hatita nameh asur. Because if the yahid is not using it, even hatita is going to be asur. So the bottom line result of this gemara is, when it's shel rabbim, and the rabbim is using it, you can do anything you want. You can do hatita, and furthermore, you can even do hafira. You can even dig it out. When it comes to a yahid, that they are using it, so also we're going to say what? That hatita, meaning clearing out, is permissible, and hafira is going to be asur. However, when the wells are not being used, so then already it's going to be that what? By a bor shel rabim, it's going to be only hatita mutar, and a bor shel yahid that's not being used, everything's going to be asur. That's the basic result of this Gemara. And what the Gemara did at the end, it revamped the first Braita. It just gave you more clarity in the first Braita. Then telling you that what? When it comes to tzarich lahem by a bor shel rabim, you can even make hafira. And by en tzarich lahem, by a bor shel yahid, you can't do anything. And a bor shel rabim, you'd be allowed to make hatita. That's basically the compromise that the Gemara makes over here. Right, everything goes down a level, or up a level, however you want to learn it. Shel rabim, when rabim are using it, that's the best case. There's two things going for it. Shel rabim and rabim using it. Right. That already dig out. Because the rule basically is going to be, even though digging out is terhayat terah, but for the rabim, we'll waive the terhayat terah rule, and we'll allow you to dig out. When it's for yahid, I'm not going to waive the terhayat terah rule. When it's for yahid, even though he's using it, I'll let you clear out. I'll let you do hatita. But hafira, I'm not going to let you. When it's not being used, then already, by yahid, nothing. Don't do hatita, go check in hafira. By a rabim, since it's still of the rabim, it has a potential to be used for the rabim, still the hakimim will allow you to do hatita and clear it out. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Amar Vashem Anitina Midaika. Our Mishnah is also Meduyeket. That what? It's, when it's Rabbim Sirichim Lo, Hafiraz Mutar. Yeah, when it's Rabbim Sirichim Lo, Hafiraz Mutar. Dikhtani, because it says in the Mishnah, Osin Kosurche Rabbim. It says you're allowed to do all public works. So the Gemara says, Kol La Tu Yemai. Well, what is this all public works coming to include? Lav la tu yahafira must be coming to include that what? And a bo shel rabim you can even do hafira. All public works is coming to include hafira. Versus lo, it's not coming to include that. La tu yahadetanya. Maybe it's coming to include the following brayta. Yotzin lekavetz et haderachim. It is permissible to go out on Chol HaMoed to call it dethorn the roads. Sometimes you have thorns on the roads over there, so you want to get the thorns off the roads, it's dangerous. So you're allowed to go out lekavetz et haderachim, to take the thorns off the roads, v'letaken et ha'rechobot, and to fix the streets, ve'et estarteot. Estarteot is the market streets. Okay, you can pave all those roads. Ve'lamud et ha'mikvot. And you go out on Chol HaMoed to measure the mikvaot, to make sure they have mem se'ah. V'chol mikveh she'en bo 40 se'ah, and any mikveh that doesn't have 40 se'ah, margilin et toko 40 se'ah, you're able to guide into it 40 se'ah. Meaning of rainwater. You're able to have, let's say, a place where there's rain. You can't draw the rainwater, obviously, into it, but margilin, you guide it or direct it into the mikveh. U'minayim she'im lo yatsu v'asu kol elu. And how do we know that if the betin does not go out, let's say, and do this public works by fixing the roads and things like that, take out the dangerous situations, she'kol damim she'nishpechu sham, ma'ale alem ha'katuf ki'ilu hem shafchum, that is considered, if anybody dies, God forbid, on those roads, the betin is responsible as if they spilt this blood. Tamudomar v'haya alecha damim. The blood is going to be on you. See, this is referring to the law of amake. Person has to put a parapet around his roof, if let's or a high area, like a fence around it, a gate, so people don't fall off. If you didn't put your ma'ake and somebody fell off the roof, v'haya alecha damim, the owner of the house is going to be responsible. So the same thing over here. the blood is on the hands of Beit Din, does not go out and make sure that this municipality is over here, the roads and things like that are safe. So the Gemara wants to say that that's what the Mishnah is coming to include. When the Mishnah says, at the end of our Mishnah, when it says, Osin kol sorchei rabim, it's coming to include these cases over here, all the needs of the Sibur. So the Gemara says, no. Have eje ketani la. What do you mean? I don't need that statement to include these cases. The Mishnah explicitly says these cases. Why? Because what does the Mishnah say? Umitakinim, mitadarachim, mitarechobot, mitamikvaot. Oh, ve'osim kosuchet bim latu yevai. So what is then? Osim kosuchet bim coming to include? Lav latu yehafira, shma mina. Must be coming to including hafira. That what? That when it comes to a board of rabim, and the rabim sinichim, no. Then even hafira is going to be mutas. When you read the Mishnah again, and it says osim kol tzorchei rabim, you learn what is that coming to include? Hafira in a bor that shesirichim lo. That's the kedush of the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says further. Mitzayinin et kevarot. You're allowed, actually, it's an obligation to go out on Chol HaMoed and mark the graves. Now we're talking about graves over here, obviously where there's corpses in the graves, and they are a problem of oil tum'ah. Which means when somebody walks over this grave, even though you didn't touch anything, it's on the ground. Just going over it is considered oil, and that can be mitame a kohen. Nafkamina, he cannot eat now terumah. So we want the kohanim to be aware exactly where the graves are, so they will not have a problem. If they're carrying terumah in their hands, for example, now they're going to have to burn the terumah. So we don't want that situation. So therefore, it says you go take limestone and you mark off exactly where the graves are, on the ground, of course, and then the kohanim are able to navigate and able to know exactly where not to walk. So the Gemara says, where do we have a remez that it's a mitzvah to make tziyun kevarot, to mark the graves? Which means, obviously, if we're allowing this on Chol HaMoed, must be a mitzvah. But obviously, it doesn't tail work. You are, you know, doing, we're going around painting the ground. It must, unless it was a mitzvah, we would not allow this on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara is asking, how do you know, at least the rem is an illusion, that tziyun kevarot is a mitzvah? Talmud Lomar, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, that's prophesizing about the future war of Gog Magog, where there's going to be a lot of corpses of the goyim, so the person of Gog Magog. So it says, "V'ra'a etzim adam." So the person is going to see a bone of a person. Ubana etzlo tziyun, and he's going to put a tziyun next to it. The tziyun is a marker. So you see, there's a concept of when there's bones, you put markers. That's only a remez, because on a bone itself that's exposed, first of all, a bone, you don't have to put a marker next to it. Because if it's exposed, you see it. I mean, there's no problem with tziyun, something the kohen can see. The only thing you'd have to do to a bone is what? Bury it. A bone itself cannot convey oil tum'ah. So therefore, technically, this is not really a proof, direct proof for a body that you have to make a tziyun. The stam is just giving a remez when the pasuk says you'll see a bone and you'll make a tziyun next to it. Rashi points this out when he says, look at Rashi when he says, v'ra'aretzim yechazkel mitnabe al ha'atid lavot she'yasu yisid tziyunim al atzamot ha'pegarim ha'mushlachim. They're going to make markers next to the bones that are scattered out or strewn out. V'remezu, and this is only a remez, shelo ba'katuv, להזיב ללמד שאדם עושה ציון. Why? Because דאגות הבח עדס, if you look at hair in דאגות הבח, שלא בא כתוב להזיר ואמר שאדם עושה ציון, משום הסת, אין צריך ציון. Which means all you're worried about over here, somebody might come move the bones. Mm-hmm. For moving the bones, because when it comes to a bone is מתמה בהסת, only if you move it. So therefore, for that matter, you don't have to put a ציון. You can just cover it. When it comes to a bone, you're not worried about too much oil. So really, could you do with it? Put dirt over it. Let the coin walk right over it. There's no tumah. So therefore, it's really a remez over here. When it says you'll see a bone and you'll make it see you, and you really, it's not telling you explicitly that when you have a body that's buried where there is tumah, you have to make it see you, because that's not the case over here. And I would say it's a remez when you see the word siyun next to some type of item that conveys some sort of tumah, so therefore we see over there there's a inyan to make tziyunim, but it's not exactly the case we're looking for. And in this case, it would have been sufficient with these bones to bury them. Because what are you worried about? Tumat oil? There's no tumat oil by these bones. So what do you mean? Hesetus. It means the Kohen might walk and move it. Okay, good. So bury them in the ground. Once he buries them in the ground, there's no tumat hesetus. He can't move them. There's no tumat oil. So it really doesn't prove our exact scenario where there is tumat oil. It's a regular corpse that does convey tumat oil, but it's yeremes. You see the word tumah next to the word siyun? Okay, so never went to yeremes. So the Gemara's amale ravina, the Rav Asher. Hamikamedi letei yaskel man amar. Zolder. So Yaskel is your first source for this item. And before Yaskel came, how did you know it's a mitzvah? He said, until you had this remez from Yaskel, which is the prophets. How did you know before Yaskel came that this was an important thing? She says, veletamech. So the Gemara says, according to your reasoning, the following halakha, we did not learn explicitly from the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, but we learned it from the book of Yechezkel. What? It says, "Kol ben nechal arel lev v'arel basar." Anybody that is uncircumcised, a Jew, lo yavo el mikdashi, cannot come into the Beit HaMikdash. Now, why would a Jew be uncircumcised? She says it's talking about a case where his brothers were circumcised, but they died as a result of the midah. Their brothers, they didn't have clotting, and therefore the halakha says if somebody has two brothers that died machmat midah, they do not circumcise them. Because it's sakanafim, but bottom line, it's considered uncircumcised. So how do you know that an uncircumcised Jew is not allowed to walk in the Beit HaMikdash? So there's no pasuk in the Torah for this. We know it from pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, "Kol arel lev." Anybody that's arel lev and arel basar, uncircumcised, should not come into the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, "Mekamed eletei Yechezkel man amar." Okay, before Yechezkel came along and said this. So how did we know this halakha? Ela gamra gamirila. Ela must be we had a tradition. And Yaskel just came along and took a tradition that we had, the long-standing tradition, and he put it in the pasuk. So really the source is not Yaskel. The source is what? Tradition. And Yaskel just put it in the pasuk. So same thing. Same thing, I'll tell you. When it comes to Tziyun Kevarot, I'll tell you, really, we had a tradition from all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to mark the graves. And all Yaskel did is what? He put an emes in the pasuk. So the source is really not Yaskel. The source is what? Tradition. Just like the source of Korah Arel Basar, Lo Yavon Mekdeshe. It's the same thing. It's really a tradition, and Yaskel put it in a pasuk. Now the Gemara says a different interpretation. Now the Gemara is going to give different proofs. How do you know you have to make Tziyun Kevarot? The first proof was what? From Yaskel. The next one, Rabbi says like this, Rabbi Abu Ama Me'acha, Ve'tameh Tameh Yikra. By the Mitzorah, when the Mitzorah, a person is at Zara'at, and he's walking outside the camp. So as he's walking outside the camp, he has to scream, Tameh, Tameh. He has to broadcast to everybody that he's Tameh, so the people will know to keep away from him. The Gemara says, Tum'ah Kor'ah Lo. The Tum'ah must call out, Ve'omeret Lo Perosh. To tell the person, keep away. And the Gemara is applying this to a grave. See, the grave has to call out to the person that's walking, the Kohen specifically, and tell him, Tameh, keep away. That's the end of how Tziyun Kivarot. The Tziyun is the calling out. The Gemara is Mechir, Amar Abi, Uziel, Bar Bered Rabbi Uziel Rabbah, right, the grandson of Rabbi Uziel Rabbah, Tum'ah Kor'ah Lo. It's almost as if the Tum'ah calls out, because it's Tameh, Tameh, Yikra. Right, the Tum'ah will call out, the Omeret Lo, Pirosh. And it, so to speak, it tells the person, keep away. Gemara says, "V'hai le'ach Yudata." Is this pasuk Tameh Tameh coming to teach me Tziyun Kevarot? Ha'u mev'ayel l'chnetanya. We need this pasuk ready for a different teaching. That was after the bright. V'tameh Tameh Yikra. Sarich le'odiyat sa'arod rabbim. The mitzorah, when he's walking outside of the camp, he has to let everybody know his sa'ar. He has to let everybody know his predicament. Why? V'rabbim mevakshim alav rahamim. So they'll pray for him. Jeez, it seems the Mitzorah himself cannot pray for himself. As we once explained, because the Mitzorah gets Sara'ah because of Lashon Hara. Once when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he misuses his mouth. His mouthpiece is now malfunctioning. Once his mouthpiece is malfunctioning, he cannot use it for Tefillah. It's a broken mouth. So therefore the biggest problem that the Mitzorah has, he's sick and he can't get better. And he can't even pray for himself because his mouth doesn't work in Tefillah. So therefore he has to let everybody know, Tameh, Tameh. They're going to see his Tameh. They're going to say, oh, please pray for me. That's what he's saying. So that's what you need the pasuk for. So I can just tell me, if it's Tziyun Kevarot, it says, Im ken lichtov v'tameh yikra. If that was the case, the pasuk would say just once, v'tameh yikra. he will call out that he's tameh. My v'tameh tameh. Why did it say it? Repeat it. Tameh tameh yikra. Shma mina tarti. You learn two things. He learned the law of the mitzvah that he has to broadcast these tameh so the people will pray for him. And the second tameh teaches me what? That the kevarot have to call out by saying that they're tameh. And therefore, how does that do it? By making tziyun kevarot. So that is the second source for tziyun kevarot. Now get to the third source. Abaye amar me'acha. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. If a Kohen doesn't know there's a kever there, he's going to walk right over it. And what's going to happen? He's going to end up eating terumah when he's tameh. He's not going to know. So he's putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So that's another source. You know, you have to make tziyun kevarot. The papa gives the fourth source. Amar me'acha. The pasuk says, ve'amar, solu, solu, panu darech. Solu, solu, make the roads, means straighten the roads, the paths, panu darech, clear away the street, which is how do you make the roads, which means clear them up that the Kohanim will be able to walk on them without having to worry about tumah. How do you do that? By marking the kevarot. That's the end of the pasuk. Raise a stumbling block from the road of my nation. What's the stumbling block? Again, the kever. Rabbi Yeshua ben Edrav Idi Amar, Ve'odata lahem et haderech yelchuba. You will show them the road that they may walk on. And show them the road, which means cause the roads to be clear from any type of tumah. Ve'odata amar, Ve'zartem et b'nei Yisrael metum'otam. Which means, Ve'zartem means you should cause the Jewish people to keep away from tameh. Vizartem. You should cause them to abstain from tumah. How do you cause them to abstain from tumah? Put a marker on the kever. Vashe amar ushmartem et mishmarti. Asu mishmeret et lemishmarti. Make a fence for my fence, which means the terumah is called a mishmeret. The Torah calls mishmeret terumotai. Why is terumah called a mishmeret? Because you have to protect it. And we have a pasuk that says vasu mishmeret lemishmarti. Ushmartem et mishmarti. That what? You have to put a protection to the thing that's called my mishmeret. What's mishmeret? Terumah. How do you put a protection to the terumah? Tziyun kevarot. By putting the markers over there, you're protecting my terumah from becoming tameh. Ravina Amar, another source. Vesam derech. Areinu beyesha Elohim. Vesam derech, as she says, she'osim siman. Sam, like siman. Vesam derech. That what? Is it derech hilchut? So they know exactly which roads to take. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Levi. Kol Hasham or Chotav. Anybody that evaluates his ways in this world, Zoche v'roeh b'yishuato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will enjoy in the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Mashiach comes, he will enjoy in Olam Haba with the Tzadikim. Shnei Emar, Vesam derech. Literally, Sam derech means you should place a siman on the road. Al tekrev v'sam ela v'sham derech. Read it like a sheen. Which is anybody that evaluates their ways. What do you mean evaluates their ways? So that she says, schar avera keneged efseda and efsed mitzvah keneged sechara. Which means when a person calculates the reward he gets from sin. Which means it's schar avera, certain pleasure, certain benefit that he might get from sin. But when you calculate, is the reward of sin worth the hefsed? Is it worth the long-term loss? Or the hefsed you get from doing a mitzvah? The loss that you get from doing a mitzvah can make it sakarak according to the reward that you're going to get. That's sham, that you're evaluating. You're calculating, how much is this worth? How much is that worth? That's when you make an evaluation. So the pasuk is saying, whoever evaluates their ways in this world, well, you calculate, is it worth it for me to do this? What's the upside? What's the downside? Hefsed, sakar. Then already he will benefit to see the Yeshai, which is in the future. He will enjoy the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Learning and making a play on the words. V'sam derech, v'sham derech. Somebody that evaluates their ways. So he brought us, Arin Rabbi Yeshai, Rabbi Yanai, Havadehu Talmidah. Rabbi Yanai had a student. Dechol Yoma, every day, Havam Mekshele. Every day, he would ask him questions, strong questions. V'shivtad derigla, on Shabbat of the Regel, that's on the Shabbat before the holidays. Or on the regal itself, where a lot of people came to the shiur. He didn't ask him any questions. He didn't want to embarrass him. When they were in the private shiur, he would ask him questions. That's the learning. But in front of the people, when they came on the Shabbat of the Regel, he didn't want to embarrass the rabbi. So Rabbi Yanai, he called on this student. He said, this boy over here evaluates his ways. It means he's making a calculation. I mean, he appreciates it. He doesn't ask on the regel because he doesn't want to embarrass me. That means the student knows exactly when to ask and when not to ask. It means he's making calculations. He's thinking. He's making, he's not just asking questions whatever he wants. That she says on the top, Shemehashev b'sha'ot ezemen lakshot, ezemen shelo lakshot. When he calculates the hours, when to ask, when not to ask. This is already the yan of v'sham derech. And now we move into the subjects of Tum'ah v'Tahara. Tanu Rabbanan, en mitzayinim lo al kezayit min amet. We do not make tziyun kevarot on a kezayit of amet. Now kezayit of amet means over a kezayit of flesh. Now it should be pointed out a kezayit of flesh is mitameh be'oil. So lechaora, if it's a kezayit of flesh, you should have to put a tziyun. Gemara will ask this question. Let's just learn the whole braita. The Gemara is going to go back and explain all the cases. Second case, velo al etzim kisora. That's right. If you have a bone fragment the size of a barley, so that does not mitameh be'oil. So therefore, there's no problem. You don't have to make a tziyun. Just buried under the ground and finished. Etzim kisora mitameh beheset. When if the kohen moves it, if let's say he's walking, he kicks it, he's tameh. So if it's above the ground, I'm not so worried because either he can see it. Right? And walk around it. And if it's so small, just bury it under the ground. You don't have to make a siyun. Because once it's not mikabel oil tum'ah, he can just walk right over it. So that's no siyun by an asim kisura velo al davar she'eno mitameh be'oil. Or for that matter, anything that's not mitameh be'oil does not need a siyun. What do? Just bury it. Aval b'tseinin ala shidra. Okay, if the spinal column. Now, you don't even have a whole corpse. You have the spine, which is really one bone. The spine of the person, bar minan, can be mekabel tum'at oil. The ala gulgolet, gulgolet would be the skull. The skull of a person as well is mekabel or mitameh be'oil. Al rov binyan. Rov binyan is the majority of the frame of a person. For example, let's say the bones of the leg. So you have the long thigh bone and the shin bones, even though it's not a lot of bones. It's two or three bones, but it's the majority of his frame. That also could be mitameh be'oil. Ve'al rov minyan. Or you have majority of bones, even though it's not rov minyan. Majority of bones is 125 bones. There's 248 limbs in a person. So 125 already, that's considered rov. And therefore, if you have either rov binyan, that's the majority of the frame, those are the big bones of the legs, or rov minyan, or just majority of bones, or shidra, or that's the spine, or gulgolet, skull, all those parts of the body are mitameh, the only thing you're going to have to make a tziyun, a mark. The en mitzayinin ala vaddaut. On a place where you know for sure there is tum'ah, you do not make a marker. There's no purpose to make a mark over there. Everybody knows. There's a mit over there. The Kohanim already are aware not to bring their taharot to that area. Aval mitzayinin ala sifikot. However, if it's a place where it's doubtful, questionable, you make a tziyun on that place. Ve'elu en sifikot. The Gemara is going to give three examples of a case we have a sifik. Sichachot, piraot, ubetaparis. The Gemara will explain each one of these items when we get to it. Again, remember, just sechachot, peraot, betaparis is a three case of safek, and the Gemara is saying what? You have to put a marker in that area. Then ma'amidim siyum bimkom tum'ah. Now we do not put a siyum bimkom tum'ah, which means like this. Let's say the tum'ah is on exact spot. You don't put the marker right on the spot where the tum'ah is. You have to put it a little in front of it. Because if you're going to put it directly on the spot, shelo lafsid et ha'taharot. you're going to cause the Tarot, the Terumah, to become Tameh. Because what's going to happen to Kohen? By the time he receives the marker, he's on the Tumah already. So you got to give him a warning a little before the Tumah, so he doesn't just, comes upon him suddenly, and before he knows it, he's standing on the Tumah, and he has to burn his Terumah. So therefore, you put the marker a little close. However, you don't put it so far. So you have to be balanced. Why? Shelo lafsi the Eretz Yisrael. Because you don't want to now ruin the land of Israel. You're not going to be able to walk anywhere. Which means now every place over here, you're marking it 20 feet in front of every kever. Right. So that land becomes now unwalkable. So then we don't want to be mafsid the Eretz Yisrael either. So you have to put it in front of the Tumah, but not the hook, not so far away. Right? As she says, Shikshiroeh siman miyad porish v'nam say Eretz Yisrael b'tumah shelo letzorech. Right, you're making a lot of roads in Israel Tameh, where it's really not Tameh. So we don't want to do that to Israel, so therefore we don't do that. Now, because now the Gemara goes back to the Braita. That's the end of the Braita. Now we're going to analyze each case. The Kezayit min Amet, Enu min Tameh be'ohel? You tell me, if a Kezayit of flesh, don't have to put a marker. Why not? We know that a Kezayit of Amet does convey oil to Ma. Ve'atenan, elush mitame'im be'oil. The following items are mitame be'oil. Kezayit min Amet. And one of the cases is Kezayit min Amet. So look how you should have to put a marker where there's a Kezayit of Amet. It's give us Amar Papa, hacha be'kezayit mitzumsam askinan. First of all, we're talking about it's exactly the shiur of a Kezayit. The sof mihsar hasir. What's going to happen eventually? In the near future, it's going to decompose. It's flesh. So it's going to go from a kezayit very fast to less than a kezayit. So less than a kezayit is what? Less than a kezayit is not mitameh be'oil. So therefore, you're only worried about the initial, however many days, which is a small amount of time, when it's under the ground, that it's going to be mitameh tumat oil. But for the long run, it's going to decompose and not going to be mitameh tumat oil. So you know what the Gemara says? Mutav yisrifu alav terumah v'kadashim nefi sha'a ve'al yisrifu alav le'olam. Better to burn terumot and kodashim temporarily, but not to burn forever. Now what does this mean? The simple interpretation means, listen, so when a guy walks over it, initially it's going to be the size of a kezayit. Alright, well, kezayit's metameh. So initially he's going to have to burn the terumah. However, for the long run, he's not going to have to burn anymore. Because really it's going to be less than the shi'ur. So we'd rather put the guy in a situation where he has to burn his terumah temporarily instead of having to burn it for the rest of his life. Now you're going to answer the question, what do you mean? He's not going to know anything. If we're not putting a marker, how's he going to even know to burn the terumah the first time when he walks over? He doesn't know he walked off anything. So the Ritva says, these words are lav dafka. It means over here where he's going to eat the terumah betumah. See, the guy's going to walk over this kezayit of emet. He's not going to know. He's no marker there. It's tahor. He's going to eat terumah, b'shogeg, b'tumah. Gemara says, we'd rather that temporary situation, which is really a safek, who says he's going to walk over it? Who says when he walked over it, it was really still a kezayit? So it's not vadai, but what? Better that situation than what? Then what are you going to do? You're going to put a marker there. What? Now you're going to put a marker there, and it's really not tameh. It really decomposed. Now for the rest of history, every time a Kohen walks by mistake, let's say. By mistake, he walked by the item, he didn't see the marker, then he takes his terumah and burn it. And you're burning terumah shelo letzorech. This terumah does not have to be burned. So we'd rather a minor situation, meaning a temporary problem, than to have a chronic problem in the future. That's why we just bury it, rely on the fact it's going to decompose, because we're talking about a kezayit mitzumsam. It's exactly a kezayit. So how long does it take? It could be a couple of hours even. Until it just decomposes, then we're going to have a problem. So for the few hours in between that you're worried, better to let a guy, unfortunately, might eat terumah betumah, than to have for the rest of history, them burning terumah betahara, thinking that there's a there's tumah there. Okay. The following cases are sifikot. Now, the case of the sifikot, we said you have to put your markers on the case of sifikot. Sechachot uferaot. Now, what are all these items? Sechachot. Well, sechachot that comes from the word the schach. Schach is a little like an overhang. Ilan mesach ala alis. Oh, you have a tree that's overhanging over the ground. Now, what's the case over here? It's a tree that's next to a cemetery. Sometimes, let's say, they want to bury somebody in the cemetery. It's late, for example, whatever it is. They couldn't get the body into the cemetery itself. So they put it in a private area under a tree next to the cemetery. It's also Makom Sanua. So then when you have a tree under a cemetery, next to a cemetery, it's Safik. You don't know if there's a body there or not. But usually it's a place where people would bury because it's a modest place. They couldn't get to the cemetery. So therefore you have to put a marker in front of the tree. Okay, that's the way that she explains. I'm reading it as Simuchot, the Shulta Rabbim as Simuch Labet HaKevarot. The Mesav Kalan Behu Betumah, the Kevan Yesh Alehem Ohel, the Gilim Nekbor Sham Bemkom Tzanua. Okay, so that is the case of Sechot. Peraot. Peraot is referring to over here protrusions of stones. Abanim Peruot Yotzot Min HaGadir. Let's say you have a fence. And let's say, however high, coming out of the fence is a stone, protrudes. So that's an oil. Okay? Now, under that stone would be maybe customary, again, if it's next to a cemetery, you bury somebody there, because again, it's modest. It's not exposed to the public. Now, obviously, we're talking about the queen could walk over that area. So we have a stone protruding from a wall. Underneath that stone, it's next to a cemetery. You have to be concerned that maybe they put a corpse there, so that we have to put a marker next to that area, so the Kohen is aware not to walk on it. That's Safek. You don't know for sure, but it is a Safek, and on a Safek you have to put the marker there. The third case of Safek was what? Bet HaParis. What is a Bet HaParis? Literally Bet HaParis. Paris is fragments. Paris is like pieces. The place of the pieces. What was this talking about? Kedetnan. Hachore Shet HaKever. Let's say there's a Kever. It's known. There's a corpse buried in a field. And they went with the plows, and they plowed up the ground. Hareu oseh bet aparis. You have turned that field now into a bet aparis. What is that exactly? So that she tells us over here. Bet aparis. Male ma'ane tede mehad shil mea amah. Which means when a person, let's say there's a cave in there, right? And he plows it up, mm-hmm. You have to assume that now bone fragments are going to be flying all across the field, up to 100 amma. Kohenim have to know this. There's a bet aparis. Kohen has to know when he's going to walk through that field, like the Gemara is going to say it immediately. Let's say he wants to go bring Korban Pesach. He's got to be concerned about little bone fragments that are the size of a se'ora or less, that are mitameh be'esit. There's no oil to mount by the bones. But you're worried about what? That he might, as he's walking through the field, he might move one of these little bone fragments. So the Gemara says, "Vekama ose." How long is a bet aparis generally? Melo ma'ane me'ama. The size of the length of a furrow, which is 100 amma, which means we assume that when you plow the field, the pieces fly the shoot of 100 amma. So when the Kohen, let's say they warn him, hey, listen, the Kohen, there's a bet aparis. So he's got to know that 100 amma, the kever was here, so he's got to know 100 amma where the plow is. That area has got to be concerned that there might be bones that are strewn in the area. So the Gemara says, and therefore what? Therefore the Gemara is saying, a bet aparis, you have to put a marker. Now the Chaura, the Gemara is going to question, what are you putting exactly a marker for? Is this an oil tumah situation? Again, always learn the rule of tziyun. Tziyun is only for oil tumah situations. If you have a bone underground, you're worried because you're going to walk over it, so you put a marker. Incidentally, I didn't mention, but it should be mentioned, why do they put the marker of limestone? That she said on Amud Nishon, because the limestone is white, and the bones are white. So therefore that's a good siman for that there's white bones underneath the ground. You put a white siman to allude to the white bones. In any event, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we have a statement, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Menapeach Adam Bet HaParis Veholech. What does that mean? You have a Kohen. The Kohen is going to bring Korban Pesach. He's got to walk through a Bet HaParis. He's going to walk through a Bet HaParis. His potential can become Tameh. So you know what he does? He blows his way through it. How does he blow his way through it? He walks very cautiously, and he blows by the ground. Any bone fragments that is going to be on the ground, what's going to happen? They're going to move away. You're only worried about tum'ah teset over. You're not worried about tum'ah of course, because they're small bones. You're not worried about tum'ah oil. Because already, if there was a grave in there, of course you have tum'ah oil. That's a problem. but there's no grave anymore. They plowed it. So by plowing it, they plowed up the whole body, and now all the bones are all over the place, so he can walk through it. What do you just got to do? You just have to be menapeya. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ameh b'shmei d'olah amar betapar shenidash tahor. And Rabbi Yehuda adds another chedush. No argument there. He's agreeing. He's just giving another chedush. Let's say the Bet HaParis was trampled, which means after they dug up the, after they plowed up the grave, they have little bone fragments all over the place here. Now let's say you had people that went in there and it was nidash. People trampled on it. Then it's tahor. Then already we're not concerned at all. The Kohen could walk in even without nipuach. Because why? When they trampled it, there's nothing. There's no fragments anything. There's nothing left in for tum'at hesed. So again, the law is if it was just plowed up, the Kohen can walk through it, through nipuach. If it was nidash, if it was trampled on, it means that all the fragments are destroyed. Because somebody trampled on it. Not Kohanim. Let's say people that walk through that field, they trample on it. After they step on it, the bone gets destroyed. Then already it's tahor. The Kohen can walk through the Shkodrah Pesach without even doing nipuach. But you don't have to make a tziyun. So the Gemara says, "Amar Papa Lakashia, Kam Besadesh Abad Bakever, Kam Besadesh Nechlash Bakever." Okay, two different types of Bet HaParis, by the way. There's a Bet HaParis Shenechlash Bakever. Nechlash Bakever, you don't need a tziyun. Again, let him just min a payah his way to the field. But there's also another type of Bet HaParis Shenevad Bakever, where there's a kever somewhere lost in that field. It's in the field somewhere. They forgot where they buried him. So in that case over there, you got to put a marker, and that's a safek. You don't know exactly which area of the field has the corpse, so then you have to put a marker in it. So when it said the three cases we have safek, they have to put markers. What were they? You had the case of sichachot, that was the tree next to the cemetery. Peraot, that was the stone protruding out of the wall. And the third case was Bet HaParis. What type of Bet HaParis? Bet HaParis she'avad ba'met, where the met was lost somewhere in the field. That's Tumat Oil now, because she's bottom line somewhere in the ground. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, V'sadeh she'nehirash ba'kever Bet HaParis karila. Hold it. A sadeh, that a corpse was buried there, but it's lost somewhere in there. Do you call that a Bet HaParis? Because that was one of the cases. You said Bet HaParis. They told me Bet HaParis and Evad Bakevet. Is that called a Bet HaParis? Gemara says, in. Yes. V'atenan, as we learned, Shilosha Bet HaParis. And there's three different types of Bet HaParis. Sadeh Shene Evad Bakevet, Sadeh Shene Hirash Bakevet, V'sdeh Bochim. And the field of crying. Now, I know what Nehirash Bakevet is already. I know what Ne'evad Bakevet is. But what is Sdeh Bochim, the field of crying? My Sdeh Bochim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Abba b'Shmei d'Olah Amar, Sadeh Shemeftilin Ba'Metim. A field that they leave dead bodies in them. What do you mean they leave dead bodies in them? Let's say they're taking a body, they're moving it from one cemetery to a different cemetery. So the custom was, they would have the people carrying the nifar. They would carry him from one city. When they get to the next city, they had a certain meeting point where they would transfer over the body to the members of the, let's say, the Havdat Kadisha of the city that is going to be buried. So they would leave the body in that field. And now the new Havdat Kadisha would come along and pick him up and bury him. So what's the problem? They're not leaving any bodies over there, which means it's just a meeting point. It's a sadeh where they transfer Havdat Kadisha. The Havdat Kadisha leaves it there, and then the new Havdat Kadisha picks it up. So what's the problem of Tum'ah? So the Gemara asks, V'ta'amah mai, what's the reason why there's a problem of Tum'ah there? Amar abimi mishum yi'ush ba'alim nag'uba. Yi'ush ba'alim, what's the concern over here? But now when they're carrying this body, it's starting to decompose. So it's possible some limbs can fall off. So now what's going to happen? You can have a limb, for example, that falls off, now it's in the field. Okay? Now what happens when you have two Havdat Kadishas over here? Each one's going to rely on the other one to inspect the field before they leave. And what's going to end up happening? Nobody's going to inspect the field. And therefore, a Sdeh Bochim, they call it Sdeh Bochim, when people cry. But the inyan is your concern that since they're dropping off bodies always in that spot, and possibly a limb of the body could have fallen off, and you're concerned that the Havdat Kadishas did not inspect, because each one relied on the next guy, so you have Tum'ah here. So you have tumah in the field. So that's why you have to be concerned. It's also called a beta paris. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, no, the only one that you have to mark, there's not neharash ba'kever, because neharash ba'kever, you can make nipuah. In this case also, by a limb, either it's above the ground, so he'll be able to see it, and if it's not above the ground, also he'll be able to blow his way through it, or he'll be able to see it. The only one of the you have to put a marker is on the stesh in evad ba'kever. Because that's a body, it's buried underground, it's tumat oil, and therefore if you're not going to put a marker, you're not going to know exactly, the coin's not going to know exactly where to go. So only one of the three needs a marker. This there, not nechad, that's there, shene evad ba kever. Good? Comes the Gemara and says, this there, shene evad ba kever, lo ba ya siyun. Oh, the Gemara going the other way now. If it's nechad ba kever, you don't need a siyun? Well, we understood you don't need a siyun. Why? Let's speak it out. Because what are you worried about? There's no worried about. You're worried about little bone fragments. Bone fragments, he can blow his way through the field. Just keep on walking, and blow his way. Because bone fragments are not metameh be'oyim. They're only metameh be'hesed. So the Gemara, you don't need a siyun. So the Gemara says, you don't need a siyun? Ve'atanya, we have a braita. Matzah sadeh mitsuyinet. Listen to this story. You have a kohen. He got to a field. He sees there's a siyun over there. There's a marker. Ve'en yadua matiba. He doesn't know what type of field this is. He doesn't know what type of field. Is it nechirash ba? Because if it's nechirash ba, he can walk through it benefiha. If it's ne'evad ba, he can't walk in it at all. So stop, right away, what do you see over here? That they used to always mark, even stesh nechirash ba kever. Again, it says a kohen got to a field. He sees a marker. He doesn't know what type of field it is. But what are the options? It could be a stesh nechirash, or a stesh ne'evad. If it's nechirash, he can walk through it by blowing his way through it. If it's ne'evad, he can't walk in it at all. But what do you see from this statement, but? That in the older days, they used to put markers even on a sadeh, shenechirash ba'kever. And you told me now that a stesh nechirash does not need a tziyun. But here it says clearly that if you have a marker and you don't know which, what do you mean? If you only put on stesh ne'evad, of course he knows what type of field it is, stesh ne'evad. El Abasbi doesn't know because he used to put on both type of fields. Now, the Gemara will give you a way to tell what type of field it is. Yesh ba'ilanot, if there's trees in this field, the yadua shenechirash ba'kever. For sure you know it was plowed. Why? Because there's trees. Trees need plowing, by the way. So therefore, if there's trees, you know, must be there's a plowing situation. Because you know, the trees to exist, you got to always plow them. So therefore, they must have put the marker. You don't know, is it nechirash or is it ne'evad? Oh, once you see trees, you can assume the field is plowed. That's why they put the marker. And if he can walk through with the kohen by blowing his way through. And by ilanot, if there's no trees, the yadua she'avad ba'kevet. Then you have to assume that the reason why they put the marker is because there's a coffin somewhere buried in this field, so he's not going to be able to walk in it at all. Good? Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ad she'es sham zaken o talmid. You have to get a clarification from an old man, an old zaken tamid hakam, or tamid or a student, lefishe'en akol b'ki'in b'davar, which means, we'll say like this, according to, right, you have to ask. You have to ask to find out what type of field, which means, le'olam she says, lo avi b'askat she'nehirash, you want to be lenient, Kohen. I want to say it's neharash, I can walk in. You cannot rely on it's neharash until you hear it from an old timer or a tamid hakam that'll tell you it's sadesh neharash. So the first rabbi says you can use the trees. Has trees, neharash. Second rabbi says, no. Okay, you have trees. You got to go to the rabbi of the town and ask him what's the status of this field. Now, Gemara says, so the question is, what are you talking? I thought you told me by a sadesh neharash you don't have to put a tziyun. Amar papa kitanya besadesh she'avad ba'kever detzaynuha. We're talking about a case like this. It started off as a sadesh she'avad ba'kever. There was a guy buried in there, somewhere in the field. What's the law if somebody's buried? They put a marker. After they put the marker, they plowed it. So therefore, the marker was not put originally because of a plowed field. Plowed field, you don't got to put a marker. Originally, it was put because of ne'evad ba'kever, like the halakha. Oh, so now I walk to the field and I see a marker. So I said, oh, must be Ne'evad Bakever. Oh, yes, Ba'ila. No, but if I see trees in that field, Be'yadua Shenehairaz Bakever, I could assume that that coffin that was lost in the field, there's no problem anymore of oil. I could assume that it was plowed up, therefore the creek could walk in with Nipua, with blowing. So the marker was not for the Ne'hirash issue, it started off for the Ne'evad issue. But the Ne'evad Bakever, by having Ilanot, you can assume now it is Ne'hirash. So the Gemara says, "Ain't ba ilanot, but if there's no trees, be yadua she'avad ba kever." So therefore, the maaseh, that's the Gemara's point over here, that again, you only make tziyun for ne'avad ba kever. Why? Because it's an oil issue. Why is it an oil issue? Because they have a corpse. If the corpse is going to walk in that field, he might walk over a met, and he's going to become tameh. But it's tziyun over there. Ne'hirash ba kever, don't put a tziyun. Why don't put a tziyun? What are you worried about? Bone fragments? Walk through it, let him just blow away the bone fragments and walk through. Oh, but what do you mean? This was a field over that was Ne'hadat Zarat Tziyun. It had a Tziyun because originally it was Ne'evad Bakever. After it was Ne'evad Bakever, then already the guy walked by. He said, oh, I see a Tziyun over here. Oh, Ne'evad Ba. No, I see trees. Ah, trees. Must be eventually that Ne'evad Bakever field. They eventually plowed it. And they, of course, they're plowing the trees. And therefore, they're plowing the trees, they were able to walk through it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.